Check, check, check. When Pastor Stan was like, hey, I need one of you guys to preach tonight. And I was like, I'll do it. Then I thought, oh, wait, I'm leading the worship too. But that's all right. I've done this many times, actually. So I'm excited to speak to you guys tonight. I always am excited, and I'm just kind of talking to cover time, so no big deal. So this word has just kind of been stirring in my heart for a while, and so I'm excited that I do have the opportunity, and I always like to give honor where honor is due to our pastor, who just gives me the opportunity to be able to speak to you guys and to share my heart with you, because it is an honor. And it's something that I believe that I'm called to be doing with this church, with this family, so it is a blessing. Man, and as Angela was sharing during her transition, you know, I'm reminded of myself and sometimes those whispers in the night that are small voices, but unless you know the voice of the Good Shepherd, the voice that you hear is, it's going to be a voice that you don't want to hear. It's going to be a voice that is your worst critic. It's going to be a voice that sounds good, but in the end, it's really not. You know, and here recently, if it weren't for me knowing that I have been perfected in love, then the small voice that I heard, I would have never known where it had come from. And the voice that I heard would have caused me to step into something called fear. But because I know that I've been made perfect in love, and as you know, in scripturally, in 1 John 4, perfect love casts out all fear. Well, because I took this position that I am made perfect in love, I didn't allow this voice to hinder me. And I want to tell you what this voice was. This is even before I get into my message, but it has to do with love because love is, okay? Here's the thing. I don't know if many of you might have been here whenever I shared, I don't remember back, maybe in September, when I shared kind of the things that I had struggled with in life and how I got through it, right? Basically, the voice that I heard, it sounded like, it could be a good voice. And it's not this weird, like, Frankie's hearing voices, okay? No, okay. Because sometimes our own conscious, we just think things. I'm talking about the voices that you think, right? Because we're in a war here. We're in a mind game. So there was this voice that I heard, this thought that I had thought. And I was like half asleep, half awake, and I had rolled over. And then I heard, I've got you right where I want you. And see, so you think that sounds good, but my spirit kind of woke me up, and I thought that was not the thought that it should be. So here's what I did. Here's what I come to realize, church, is that thought come from someone who's not the Good Shepherd, trying to make me think that I'm in a bad place, and that's exactly where he wants me to be. So what I did in the middle of the night while my wife was sleeping, I said, you know what, God, you're right. I am where you want me to be. God, I've been perfected in love, and I'm not going to allow fear to come into my life. God, I'm doing what I need to be doing. God, I am created in who you are. Your light is in me, and your love is in me. Therefore, I'm going to shine regardless of how I feel or how things look. You see, and it's those moments in life, church, where you can allow fear to come in and completely discombobulate who you are, or you can tell fear where it needs to go and start walking in love and being perfected in love and walking in that and standing in that, right? It's like, it's those moments like, I don't know if anyone has ever, gone through this, but this is things that have happened to me before over and over and over, and this is not something that I'm joking about, and I'm not being like, I'm not trying to weird anybody out or to freak anybody out, but sometimes there's been times where I've been asleep. I'm going somewhere, I promise. I don't even know if I'm going where I'm supposed to be going, but I'm going, okay? But there are times when I've been asleep, church, and I remember I was asleep, and I was on my, you know, I'm laying on my back, and I've got my leg out. You know those moments where, like, you kind of, your leg's hanging off the bed, and you're kind of like, oh, I better pull that back in. Something might grab me, you know? You know what I mean? It's like your feet are out the covers. You're like, nope. I've seen way too many movies. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, serious moment here. I remember, listen, and this wasn't like a muscle twitch. This was not anything like that. Listen, it was something on my leg, and something tapped me very consistently and woke me up. So I had a choice to make in that moment. I could be full of fear and let it freak me out and ruin my night, or I could look around, realize there's nothing there, and go back to sleep. Why? Because I've been perfected in love. Yeah, that's, and that's exactly what I did. You know, and then there was another moment where I was laying on my side, and I was facing my wife. Well, then I felt, I'm not joking about this, because I thought Molly was trying to get my attention, because we've got a baby. Sometimes she wakes me up because she needs to do something in the middle of the night. So I turn around, and Molly's not there. I've got two choices. I can be perfected in love, or I can allow fear to come in and torment me. I just went back to sleep, right? Last thing, it was another moment, and this was intense right here, because sometimes, you know, when Molly, she'll get up in the middle of the night, do what she needs to do with the baby, and then she'll walk back in the room, and it's a little dark, so she'll kind of feel around on the bed to make sure she's not about to walk into something or stub her toe or trip. Well, sometimes she'll brush my feet. Yeah, it kind of wakes you up, you know? So this is where this was like the real moment, the real test for me, because something brushed my feet. And I woke up, and I thought, is that Molly? And I can't see without my glasses, but I can see enough, okay? But I saw, and I'm not trying to weird anybody out or freak anybody out. Some of you may go through exactly the things that I'm going through right now. No lie, okay? It was just a black shadow. I couldn't make out what it was, okay? And I know you're probably like, really, Frankie? Come on. No, seriously. And here's what, I watched it walk across my bedroom to my wife's side of the bed, and then I was like, where, and it left. So here's what I'm saying is that when that happened, here's what I realized. I was like, okay, and I just went back to sleep. You see, because I'm not gonna allow the enemy to strike fear in me, because when he strikes fear in you, he's got you. That's exactly what he wants, is for you to be afraid. Why? Because you're gonna lose sleep over it. You see, but here's the thing about that, is that really, truly, all that is the things that are not seen, is they're just becoming visible. Right? I've heard stories of people when they go to other people's houses and how things move from one place to another, and now everybody's freaking out because there's something demonic or spiritual going on in the house. But if you truly think about it, right, I can move that TV if I wanted to, and you can see me do it. It's the same thing. It's just something that you cannot see that just goes, hey, check this out, y'all. Oh, man, the TV moved by itself. What's there to be afraid of? You just can't see it. Does that make sense? Like, am I jiving here? Because I've realized that I've been perfected in love, and it's something that has such a grip on me where now I can't allow fear to come into my life. Not that I'm not tempted to be fearful, but I won't allow it. Why? Because love is, and that's just simple as it is. This has nothing to do with my message. But I'm just letting you know that we have to get to a place, church, where we're so perfected in love that we don't walk in fear whatsoever. That things don't just scare us, or thoughts that you have scare you, or whatever your life is going to look like down the road scare you. Now we have to walk in love. We have to be perfected in love. You know, and it didn't come easy. It comes from simply having a relationship with Jesus and then becoming who he is, which is love. You see, because for years, church, we have been told that, and there goes the thought. Dadgummit. Does that ever happen? Maybe it was like the Holy Spirit's going, right? Like, next, on to the next thought. You know what? We're going to jump in it because I lost that thought. That happens to me all the time up here. All the time. So, let's look at what love is because it seems like the church has adopted the world's version of love. Does that make sense? The church has adopted the world's version of love. And it's completely opposite of what God says love is. And it's completely opposite of who He is. Right? So let's look at this. This is a very popular, everybody should know this. And if you don't, you're about to. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For if I speak in the tongues of men, and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so listen, you could be the most brilliant person in the world. You could know every single thing. All mysteries, all knowledge. You could have all the faith in the whole entire universe. And you speak to mountains and they be removed. But if you have love, you have nothing. Right? So if I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned, that's intense. Right? Basically, that's saying that you could die for your faith in Jesus, but if you don't do it from a pure motive of love, then it means nothing. Think about it, right? So you gain nothing, and if you have not love, you gain nothing at all. Right? So think about those people I believe it's in the book of Matthew, and they're saying to Jesus, they're saying, but Lord, we prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons. We've seen many miracles happen in your name. And what did Jesus say? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. So I'm led to believe in one thing, and that these people, they did things without the motive of love. Because let me tell you, church, you can use the name of Jesus and see miracles happen and not love the person at all and not walk in love. You can use the name of Jesus and see extreme miracles. You can use the name of Jesus and things can happen in your life that are unbelievable that only God can explain, right? But you can still be mad at your spouse. Right? You can preach the best messages. You can save the most souls. And still have hatred in your heart toward your brother. So if you have love, you have nothing. You gain nothing. So we can't continue to adopt the world standards of what love is. We have to look back at what God says love is. And then go from there. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So here's the thing, and this is what I'm saying, right? Because God is so awesome, right? And can we go back to that last scripture, Terry? So because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, here's the thing, right? Do you know, we all know that we're supposed to avoid the appearances of evil, right? Scripturally, we're supposed to avoid the appearance of evil. But let me just put it this way for you, and I hope you can see what I'm saying, and this is how I see it, okay? Is that we avoid the appearance of evil not so that we won't hurt our witness, but we avoid the appearance of evil because people's thoughts, they don't believe all things. They don't believe the good in all things. They don't believe the good in all people, so therefore their thoughts are evil. They think evil. Does that make sense? Why? Because they're not walking in love. Now, God knew that something like that would happen. That's why he said, you know what? Let's just show grace and mercy. Let's just avoid the appearance of evil. Why? Because people won't understand. You see, but if we as the church would walk in true love for one another. Yeah, that's my baby. I'm sorry. She's telling me to preach. So if we would walk in love, then I would have full grace and full understanding as to why you stopped at the corner of the road and this woman got in your truck so that you could minister to them, right? Now that sounds weird, right? But who's to say that God did not lead you to a specific place to find a specific person and for them to get into your vehicle and for a specific thing to happen called the ministry and for their lives to be changed and they say yes to Jesus? Who's to say that you didn't do that? We wouldn't know, but that's still why God says, just avoid it. Does that make sense? But if we were perfected in love, then at the same time, we would extend that grace and mercy. In 1 John 4, chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So, again, when you see it, beloved, let us love one another. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let us love one another. Right, so let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Basically, you go over it and you're like, okay, am I this in these situations? Right, because we can all, right, the Word of God is for us to evaluate our lives. It's more than just for to teach or to inspire. It's for us to evaluate who we are. It's there to for us to evaluate, are we really living how we're supposed to be living? Right, so John says that we should love one another. Because when you love one another, it proves that you know God. So I even dare to say that if you don't walk in love, then you don't know God. But what do you mean, brother? I've been born again for 25 years. Yeah, but do you walk in love? Because if you don't, then you don't know God. That's I'm not saying it. That's straight from the scriptures. Right, so we walk in love. Because we know God. God abides in us. So anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Right? Love just is. God is love. And in this love, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. You know, a lot of the times we question the love of God for us and in our lives when bad things happen. You see, and that leads me to believe that we don't know who God really is. Because if we truly knew who God is, we wouldn't ask God, if you really love me, why did that happen? God, if you really love me, why did they touch me wrong? God, if you really love me, why? See, you're asking the wrong questions. If God didn't love you, then why did he send his son? You have to change your perspective. So it's in this that he loved, not that we have loved God. You see, so it's not even that we loved God first, but it's that we have to see his first love. Right? So in this, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us, that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's just good. That's so good. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, Frankie, we've heard you preach this message 100,000 times. And yes, I will preach this message 100,000 more times if that means that we just keep doing it so that we can become it.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Because the Apostle Paul says many times, he says, I know you've heard this before, but I do it as a safeguard for your faith.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? So the reason you hear me so much talk about love and becoming like Christ and having an intimate relationship with him is because that's what we need to do. That's who we need to become. Or else we're always going to be mad. We're never going to serve one another. And we're going to be a bunch of disappointed Christians that are sitting in church. Did you know that there are disappointed Christians sitting in church? But where in Scripture does it talk about disappointed Christians and how we should continue to live that way? I'm pretty sure that Scripture reveals that if you're disappointed, then you're probably doing things out of the wrong wellspring. So what I'm saying is that sometimes if you don't walk in the love of God and you don't see that He created you for so much more, then you'll just end up serving Him and that's it. You'll just be a servant of God and not a friend. Not a child. Right? And what did Jesus tell His disciples? He says, I don't call you servant, but I call you friend. Why? Because you know what your master is doing. Guys, we should know what Jesus is up to. That's being perfected in love. That's being shaped in His image. Come on, we were never born for us. We were born to reflect who God is. That's salvation. That's eternal life. Eternal life is not this thing that we pray to prayer and get to heaven. Eternal life is when you pray a prayer and heaven comes down to live on the inside of you, and then you reflect who heaven is. Right? So the glory of God will fill the earth. Well, who and what is the glory of God? It's not this little misty cloud that floats around. The glory of God is you who are sitting in here today. We are the glory that fills the earth. Our lives are meant to shine. Our lives are supposed to shine. And we do so when we're perfected and when we're walking in love and when we're loving one another. The world can see that we really are Jesus' disciples. But when you have a church here and a church there and a church over there that are backbiting each other and everybody's splitting and then they steal this church's name and then they come together and make this church, then how does the world know that we truly are His disciples when even we can't get it right? And then what the church does is they try to adopt what the world is doing and put it in the church, and it doesn't work. Because it's not love. That just melts my heart when I hear it. Anybody else? Okay. Cool. Galatians chapter 5. I need to fly through this. Verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So here's the thing. What happens is that we pray a prayer to go to heaven. We receive freedom through Jesus Christ. We purchase fire insurance. And then we tell ourselves, well, we can live how we want to live because I'm going to heaven. And we use our freedom to satisfy our sinful nature, and we wonder why our lives are a mess. We wonder why we never get along with anyone at our jobs. And we wonder why we ask God for a new job and to rescue us from this old, horrible place instead of being love and being Jesus where you're at and transforming the people that are there. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, because this is what happens when you use that freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, is you slip right back into bondage and you're no longer free. You think you're free, but you're bound. So instead, use your freedom to serve one another in what? In love. You use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's what we should be doing here, right now. We use our freedom to serve one another in love. If you're having marital problems, then serve one another in love. Stop only being about yourself. Serve one another. You know, because a lot of times what happens is, you know, on that special day, I do the weddings and I don't even know what I'm called. The minister... The minister will sit there and he'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he'll say, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love holds no record of wrongs, love only rejoices in what is good, right? He reads all of these things, and then the very next day, we forget all about it, and we go back to serving ourselves instead of serving one another. And then we wonder why people are divorcing like just everywhere. I mean, that was never meant to happen in the first place. Love is supposed to bear all things. It's supposed to hope in all things, to believe in all things. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, to love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. We literally have churches on every street corner because nobody can get along. Because nobody can walk in love, because somebody's mad because the pastor said this or they said that, and I don't like who this is, so we're just going to go start our own church. But yet, we're supposed to serve one another. We're supposed to walk in love. Verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. See, I like to think about it this way. Let love guide your life. Let love guide your life. And then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. What? You mean I don't have to do the things that I don't want to do that, but you don't have to. Did you know that? Let me take it a step further even. You know, I was speaking to someone, I don't remember how far back. And they were struggling with some things. And I remember them telling me, they were just like, I want a pure heart. I want a pure heart. I want a pure heart. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And I said, and I stopped him. And I was like, well, let me show you something. I said, by you just wanting a pure heart, proves that your heart is already pure. So, listen, church. This has to do with love. It may not have to do with this right now, so I don't know where I'm going here. But if you know how much you're loved, and you know for a fact that you have said yes to Jesus, that means that you're born again. And sadly, sometimes we don't live as if we're born again. We don't live as if our hearts have been circumcised. But I can tell you this, that if you continue to do the things that you don't want to do, and in your heart you truly don't want to do those things, that's a good thing. That means that your heart is pure. Because otherwise you wouldn't have ever cared in the first place. So receive that love, receive that grace and that mercy, and keep moving. Don't stay where you're at. I don't know who that's for. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. You see, they're constantly fighting each other, trying to keep you from doing the good that you want to do. Okay, but when you are directed by the Spirit, again, when you are led by the Spirit, when you can be led by love, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. So you're not under bondage when you follow the Spirit. When you walk after love, you don't walk under bondage. You walk above it. You walk freely in the Spirit, right? So when you follow... Yeah, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, here are the results, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. That's not like witchcraft. That's like just another word for manipulation, right? Hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these, right? So just to list a few, he was saying, if you live by the sinful desires of your heart, these are the things that you can look forward to. Right? And then he says, so let me tell you again as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that sounds intense, but here's what that means, right? It doesn't mean that you won't step into heaven one day, right? Simply what that means is that you will not partake of the fruit that has been freely given to you because you keep stepping under bondage. So you could inherit the kingdom of God if you wanted. You just can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, and I like to even think about it this way. How can you have an affair on your spouse if you're walking in love? How can you hate your brother if you're walking in love? How can you be jealous of someone when they get something that you really want if you're walking in love? How can you have all these idols in your life if you're walking in love? How can you manipulate someone, what I like to call the silent treatment, if you're walking in love? Now, is it impossible? I don't know. Can you be tempted to do such things? Absolutely. But if you're walking in love, you won't do it. If you're walking in love, see, I like to think about it this way, especially for people who have been, maybe touched wrong as a child. Here's what I like to think about there. Because my heart really goes out to those people, but my heart really more goes out to the people who did it wrong. Because if they really knew God and they knew love, that never would have happened. And if this person really knew God and knew love, then they would be able to extend forgiveness and not let it affect the rest of their life. Even though it's a very tragic and traumatic event, they can step into love and no longer live in bondage because of what happened, but live in freedom because of Christ and walk in love towards one person, right? Because think about it, who's truly in most trouble, right? Take a husband and a wife, right? The husband goes out and has an affair. Now the wife is in shambles and she's in pastor's office and she's crying and frailing and snot's going everywhere. But let's think about this, right? Who's really in the most trouble? Her or the husband who had the affair? The husband who had the affair. Because he's the one who stepped out of love and did something against what he should have been doing. So he's really in the most trouble. Right now, while we care for the person who the offense was done against, we don't allow those people to stay there because we're supposed to walk in love. They're supposed to walk in love. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to use real life stuff here. I don't even remember where I'm at. I got to hurry. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Here it is, right? Love being the first. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I can't say that without singing the song. Love, joy, peace. Okay. So there is no less. This is what I love about the fruit of the Spirit. This is what I love about the Holy Spirit and walking in God and walking in who He created to be and walking in love is because there is no law against these things, right? There is no law. You can't hurt someone when you're walking in love. Now let's flip this around. Nobody can hurt you if you're walking in love. Right? Come on. We should have got a standing ovation there. Nobody can hurt you if you're walking in love. Can you be tempted to be hurt by what people do? Absolutely. But are you going to walk in love or are you going to take that temptation and be messed up because of it? Come on. We're supposed to walk in love. That's becoming love. That's becoming Christ, right? So those who belong to Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful natures to His cross and crucified them there. And if you look in the book of Colossians, it talks about who you were being nailed to the cross so that people can see it, and then Jesus marches around and triumphant, Anyways, Colossians chapter 3, check it out. It's pretty awesome. So our lives are supposed, we are meant to walk in love. We are meant to reflect the image of God. Plain and simple. That is what our lives are supposed to do, is reflect who God is. Right? So just as Jesus, in the book of Hebrews, just as Jesus reflects the full image of God and is the very essence of His character, that's Hebrews chapter 1, right? that same Jesus is on the inside of us, therefore we should reflect the exact same thing. Right? So if you think that your life is for you, then you've missed the whole point. If you think that you've got born again for you, then you missed the whole point. Right? Remember, we're not Christians for us. We're Christians to be, what Christian means is to be Christ-like ones. We're Christians to be like Christ, so that the world, through our kindness and through our love, can see who God is and say yes to Him, right? So that just like those people where Jesus says, many in the last days, right? Where He says, I don't remember the rest of the scripture, but He says, many, I wish somebody would help me, Joey. He says, many in the last days, basically, will come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, you know, I think I'm quoting it right. Okay. I know. I mean, you're like, you're a pastor. You're supposed to know this. I'm sorry. Okay. But anyways, listen. Here's what I believe, that if the church will be the church, if the church would walk in love, those many won't be as many. I mean, that's all there is to it. Like, we have the ability, we have the authority, we have the authority to go out and to baptize. We have the authority to go out and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the gospel like if you were to drive home today and hit a tree, do you know where you're going? I'm not talking about that, because that's not gospel. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. I'm talking about being like Him and going out into the world, not building a building and expecting people to show up. I'm talking about going out and being Jesus. Being love, walking in love. When your coworker is stabbing you in the back, you walk in love. You be the bigger person. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do. That shows maturity. That's why Jesus said in the book of Matthew, He says to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Listen, He's not saying that we need to be like perfect, that we think perfect. He's saying that we need to be made complete in Him, that we need to be made mature in Him. So stop thinking that you're not perfect, you're never going to be perfect, and you're always going to mess up. Get that vocabulary out of your mouth, because that's not gospel. Are you born again? This means yes and this means no. If you're born again, then you have been made complete in Him. You have been perfected in Him. So live like it. Stop making all these lame excuses as to why you can't ever measure up. Sorry, that sounds bad. I swear I'm happy in here. I'm not angry. Man, church, so let's walk in love. Let's be love. Let's be Jesus to everybody around us. That's simple. That's gospel. That's being born again. That's walking in love. Extending forgiveness, extending grace, extending mercy. That's gospel. That's gospel. So we're going to go ahead and real quick, and we're going to step into a time of communion. And as they prepare, man, this is something that we've been doing for, I don't know, man, well over a year probably now. You know, every last Wednesday we do communion. And you know, I was listening to one of my favorite pastors, and he was talking about communion. And I really liked the way he put it into perspective, because a lot of the times we look at communion and we really focus on the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And, you know, how His body was broken for our transgressions, and His blood, that it washes away our sins. And that's all great. That's all involved in what we're about to do. But I want to focus on something more like the covenant that we make with the Father. And as you take the bread, it's more of my body for yours, Jesus. My blood for yours. See, because He's made all things new, He has purified every ounce of your being. And that's how we live. I think we need to focus just simply on the covenant of that, of His body that was broken, of His blood that was shed, so that we can stand here and declare who he truly is, so that we can show who he truly is. So this communion, it's not just this routinely thing that we do and or anything like that, right? This is a very serious moment where we're remembering what was done. We're remembering what was given, what was freely given. We're remembering that when you eat the bread, you eat the body, and when you drink, it's juice. I was about to say wine. When you drink the juice, it's the blood of Jesus, right, that cleanses us. Man, so I even believe that, man, if there's someone here with an infirmity today, if there's someone here that has a pain in their body, then take it in faith, knowing that it's my body for yours, Jesus, and your body is restored, it's whole, and my body is the same way because I'm in you and you're in me. And same with the blood. You've got new blood in your veins. You have been, the blood of Jesus, what does the scripture say? That it makes us white as snow, without blemish, right? So when I think of the blood, I think of the blood that was shed for me. And I think of the fact that because the blood was shed, because the blood was taken into heaven and laid on the mercy seat, that I can now step in to the most holy of holies, blameless, righteous, and above reproach before my Father. And I know for a fact that because of the blood, he sees me how he sees Jesus. And I'm constantly reminded of that whenever I do this. So let that be a reminder of you that the covenant that was made is an amazing covenant. It's new. It's fresh. You've been made new. And that's because of what we're about to do. So if everyone can go ahead and stand, and I know we've done this many times, but in orderly fashion as possible, receive your elements and then head back to your seat.